Praise God. You know, sometimes when the worship time ends, it seems like it probably shouldn't. And sometimes it feels like there could be more. There could, and I think there could be more. It could be, it's wonderful. And I know that the Lord wants to speak to us, and thank you, Judy B., for being so willing to speak words. Those are words that God gives us through the Holy Spirit. Let me see if I can get this. There I go. Holy Spirit gives us these wonderful words, these confirming or encouraging or comforting words that just are for our benefit, always for our benefit. If it's correction or comfort, it's always for our benefit. And it's wonderful, whether it be few or many, whether it's words given in an angelic language, speaking in tongues, or whether it be just words that we can right now understand. It's praise God that He talks to us, that He is not a far-off, distant, or unknown God. As, we were studying last Wednesday about the different religions out there, the different beliefs, and some believe their God cannot be known. Some believe that there are an untold number of gods. Others believe that we are gods, or we are collectively God, or something else. But I know there is one God. One God. And He is the Lord God, our Savior. We can refer to Him as Father God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And it's the triune nature. Three persons, one God. A whole lot to unpack there. We could spend a lifetime on that thought alone. And we ought to spend a lifetime coming to know God and to be in deeper and deeper relationship with Him. I'll ask you to turn in your Bibles or click open your device, and that's cool, hey? I thought, because I'm kind of speaking to the youth, I'm so glad you're here. We are all so glad you're here. I hope you're so glad you're here. And then that would make it unanimous, that because God's glad you're here. And so it's 100%. So I'm going to be talking to you some, but to all of us, most certainly. It's not like, I'll just direct my attention here and the rest of us can be on our merry way. No, this is for all of us, of course. Jeremiah chapter 1. But first, let's pray. God, we love Your word, and we are called to study it. We are expected to know it, to wrestle with it, to rightly handle it, and to grow in it, and that Your word would grow in us. And Lord, today, may that be the case on all counts. God, I pray Your blessing upon me, Your minister this morning, Your under-shepherd, and for all of us as we have hearts to receive what You have to say to Your church today. We pray this in Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Amen. Yes, so since I thought, this is actually the first time I've ever done this. I'm holding an electronic device instead of my Bible at the pulpit. Yes, that's weird. Sometimes the men show up at our Bible study and they got their little phones and they're scrolling. And I know they're looking for scripture. It's okay. It's all right. But there they are, and they're on their little phones. I like something bigger because then I can see it. That's, you know, right there. And it's not like mine's bigger than yours. It's just cool, and it's fun. So we're going to read from Jeremiah chapter 1. Now, you always think of prophets. I always think they're old. They're hairy. They tend to be recluses, you know. They're so into the word, and that's all good and fine. But newsflash, they weren't always old. They started off young, just like youth pastors. I used to be a youth pastor. But you can't stay there. It's cool when you're 23 and you're a youth pastor. It's not cool when you're 55 and you're a youth pastor. It's like, move on, buddy. You could do something else. I think God might have. There might be the very rarest of rare, and I've known a few who stay in youth ministry a long time. And that's, praise God for that. And the Lord will choose them. And I don't dare say they're too old, because, man, that would fly right in the face of what I'm saying this morning. That would be dangerous. But, you know, sometimes it is what it is. But anyways, when it comes to prophets, you know, I got this in my mind, this picture of a prophet as being, you know, all of what I described. But wait, reading in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, this is Jeremiah, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. I am a youth. I am a youth pastor. I am a youth kid. I can't. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build up and to plant. Praise the Lord. This is the calling of a prophet, if you will. This is prophet, the prophet Jeremiah being called by the Lord. And I'm pretty sure he was a teenager. He's a young man. He was very young. He's more likely your age than mine. He was a very young and inexperienced and insecure and unsure of himself and untested. And we could just add to that. But God starts off, before even has anything to say much to Jeremiah about his plan for him, he wants to give him some assurances and tell him who he is. This is wonderful. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Before you existed on this world, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I mean, just as an aside, is that not speak to the sanctity of life? Amen. That you were, in all intents and purposes, already, but in the mind of God. He had created you completely in his mind, perfectly, fearfully, wonderfully made in the mind of God. You existed, and all your possibilities, who you would be, and the plans he had for you were all right there in God's mind, just waiting for the day, just waiting for the time. That speaks to every life being highly valued. It speaks to every life being on purpose by God. This is foreknowledge. This is intentional. You were not an accident, a mistake, or anything of the, and I'm speaking to all of us here. This was an on purpose by God. In fact, God made you on purpose. We know later in Jeremiah it reads, and of course this is addressed to Israel, but aren't we all God's children? Of course we are. So when God's word speaks to a group, it's also for us. When God's word speaks to a time, it's for all time. This is God's word, and it echoes, and it's true, and it's always so. God said in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans for your welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. God has plans for us, and good plans, not for our harm, for our good, for our welfare, for us to prosper, as it were, a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. God created you on purpose, but he also created you with purpose. Isn't that great? With purpose. Before you were born, I sanctified you. You know, the word sanctified would mean to set apart. So, no, you're not just one of many. You're not one of millions. You're one in millions. You are special made on purpose with purpose. God has a plan for you. Don't you dare think he missed you, that somehow you're less significant in God's mind, that you are amazing. In fact, God loves you best. Did you know that? Because he loves us all the same. So it turns out we're all tied for first. I used to say this a lot, that God loves me best and he loves you just as much as he loves me. God loves us all equally and as much as we can be loved. He has wonderful plans for you as our Father. He wants the best for us. And he has designed us with the best in mind. Before you were born, I set you apart. I said, you are going to be significant in a special way, in a certain circumstance. And then before you were born, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Ordained means you're prepared with such purpose, such significance. Please don't miss that. That doesn't mean we were talking this morning about Billy Graham. We were talking about other great men of God. I mean, yes, God set him apart, an amazing man. And look what the Lord did with that life. That same spirit that dwells in him dwells in us. The other Sunday, it was mentioned that same spirit, Janetta reminded our children that. She said, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. Possibly not to be Billy Graham, possibly to do the hardest thing you thought you could never do. Don't always imagine it'll be for those mountaintops. It might be for the darkest depths. It might be for the hardest challenge that anyone would face. We like to think about, oh, God has set me apart for great things. Could also be for great depths, for hard things. We don't care much for that. But then he says, and this is the answer, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. I am a youth. And yeah, and Saul was a coward. And Samson was a womanizer. Jacob was a schemer. And Sarah was long past her childbearing years. And Abraham was ridiculously old. And Moses was a washed-up, 80-year-old, stuttering introvert, I guess I would have to describe him. Esther, she was just another pretty face, I think some people might have thought. The king thought so. John the Baptist just said, I am not worthy. I am not worthy. Peter was a failure. Paul was public enemy number one of the church. Every one of them could have said, I am not able. I am not worthy. It is not possible. You've got the wrong person, Lord. We could go on. God has used the inadequate, the lowly, and the least to do great things. And I would have to say, they were right. They couldn't do it. And that's a good thing, because if you really thought you could do it without God, well, we've already got a problem. You shouldn't be able to do it with God. You shouldn't want to do it without God. You want God in it. In fact, you want to go where he goes, right, Terry? And love who he loves and speak what he speaks and do what he's doing. That's what you want to do. Don't get ahead of God. Don't think you can do it without God. I think there's far too many Christians out there doing great things without God. God had other things in mind. I do believe we could get away with that for a while, doing it under our own strength and in our own ability. But God calls us to do things beyond our ability, calls us to do things that leave us super uncomfortable. I hope he has called you, and I know he has called you to do things that put you out of your comfort zone, as they say, comfort zone. What a thing. God has not called us to be comfortable. Hardly. In fact, we're to be like Jesus, and wasn't he referred to as a homeless man, and that his pillow was a stone? Not comfortable. Hardly comfortable. Not always respected, not always loved. In fact, sometimes hated, and clearly in the end, beaten and killed. Far from comfortable. But we must follow God. He says, "You shall go to all whom I send you." Oh, pardon me, I want to back up. The Lord said to Jeremiah when he said, I am a youth. God just said, do not say that. Don't say that. Don't limit yourself. And don't limit God. Most certainly don't limit God. Do not say, I am a youth. Do not say, I am too old. Do not say, I am too young. Do not say, I don't know how to do that. Do not say, I am too short. Do not say, I don't know. Do not say that. I am awkward. Do not say, I'm not good at talking to people. Do not say, I can't afford that. Do not say, I don't have the time. Do not say that. God is saying, don't speak such words. Those are words that declare weakness. Say instead, you can do that. God, you can do that. If you just say, I can't do that and walk away, well, you're done. And you're right. What do they say? Whether you say you'll succeed or whether you say you'll fail, you're probably right. Do not say, I can't do that, and then give up. To say, I can't do that and give it to God is a good thing. God says here, you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Go where I send you. Speak what I command you. I will deliver you. And what a life Jeremiah led. He was in and out of the fire. He was challenged many a time. He dared say things that caused such hate, such anger, all sorts of threats. And often they would threaten him, and God would turn it around, and those same threats would come upon those individuals. And God took care of Jeremiah, but it was not easy. Far from it. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Here's the truth, though. Not that that isn't. That's a wonderful truth. If you want God's words in your mouth, you better be in that kind of conversation with God regularly. This didn't just happen. Jeremiah's talking to God. That didn't just happen, but it did just happen. He was very, very familiar, very close to God, to the point where they had conversations. Wow. Isn't that great? He was very familiar with God's word. And I'm going to say it probably every Sunday for the rest of our lives. Get into the word. Not so that you can get through it, but so that it can get into you, so that you are well equipped, so that you will grow, so that you will understand it. And every time you read it, you will benefit it. The word says so. God says so. It is beneficial. It is powerful. It is so useful. It brings correction. It brings comfort. It brings direction. It is all of the above. It is more than you ever imagined it to be. God has put his word in your hand, every one of us. He has put his word on the airwaves. He has put his word everywhere. God's word is so available. There's just no excuse. Get into it. Come to a study. We are to study ourselves approved. Come to a study, get into a study, and study at home, and just get hungry for it. Develop an appetite for it. Stretch yourself in the Word. You will not be disappointed, I promise you. Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Wouldn't that be great? And it is great when the Lord entrusts you to speak on his behalf. But isn't that heavy? Isn't that serious? Take it so seriously. The idea that you would be handling the Word of God and saying, thus says the Lord, be careful. Handle it well. Make sure you handle it correctly. Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. And then finally in verse 10 of chapter 1. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Oh, will I be king? No. No, but you will stand in opposition to kings. You will have authority given by God. And I, by the way, Kirk, I remember from the end of your sermon last Sunday, and then the little rap song there. Sorry, it's not a little rap song. The awesome rap song from last Sunday. And I caught a statement in there saying, "You are world changers. We are world changers." Jesus was a world changer. Everything changed when Jesus came into this place. World. Everything changed. And we are to do likewise. I have set you over nations. You are world changers. We are all world. Not doesn't mean we're going to be world famous. But I'll tell you what, change somebody's world. Just one buddy's world. You're a world changer. Raise your children in the love and admonition of the Lord. You're a world changer. Witness to somebody who is in despair and lead them to Christ. Oh, what a joy that is. You are a world changer. You just changed their world. We're called, every one of us. And the next time you feel God asking you, inviting you, challenging you, even commanding you to do something, don't say, I cannot, and leave it there. I mean, you can say, I cannot, but Lord, you can. Amen? Amen. I used to say, what one man can do, another man can do. I applied that to pretty much every task I did that I couldn't do, that I thought I didn't know how to do. And I applied it more to, say, construction or driving or any sort of work or any challenge like that. I said, well, I've never poured concrete before, but I know people pour concrete, so what man, one man can do, another man can do, if you learn how. Or I've never framed a garage before, but one man can do, another man can do, so I'll do it. And I believed that, and it worked to some degree, but here's a better thing to say. What God can do with one man, he can do with another man. What God can do before, he'll do again. What God can do with you is far beyond what you think you can do on your own, and it ought to be. You're limited. God is not. Let's pray. Holy Lord, we thank you so much for your word today. We thank you that we cannot do it, that you set our goals beyond us, that you ask us to do what we cannot in our own strength do. Lord, I pray more of that. I dare ask that each one of us will experience your doing in our lives, that we will not be limited, nor will we limit you. Thank you for our youth. Thank you for our seniors. Thank you for our children. Thank you for our young marrieds. Thank you for our singles. Thank you for our young adults. Thank you for each one. Lord, may we grow in dependence on you, in confidence in you, in faith in you. Not look at our limitations, but trust you. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. And we all said, amen, amen.